Welcome to the Tinnelly Talks podcast, where we dive into the common legal issues facing today's community associations. Whether you're a manager, board member, or homeowner, you're sure to pick up on some nuggets of advice to help you build a successful community in this ever-evolving and changing world.
Hello and welcome to Tinnelly Talks. I'm Ramona Acosta.
And I'm Steve Tinnelly.
And today we're going to discuss the manager-vendor relationship with Cindy Collins of PMP Management. Cindy joined the PMP team in San Diego as the Vice President of Community Management and brought with her over 23 years of experience in HOA management. She's been a member of CAI since 2000, earned the highly respected PCAM designation, and served on the Education Committee for 4 years. She's also served on her own HOA board for 5 years, giving her insight and perspective into the processes and needs of board members. Cindy's made it her mission to inform and educate board members so they have the confidence to make the best decisions for their communities. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
I had no idea that you served on your board as well.
That's actually how I was first exposed to the HOA world. I was that homeowner that had questions and problems, called my manager and kept getting stonewalled, and nobody would return my call. So I said, when's the next board meeting? I'm going to go.
There you go.
And I went to the board meeting with my little clipboard and all my notes and everything, and the board president looked at me and said, well, we have a vacant seat, so do you want to serve on the board? And that was my put up or shut up moment. So I joined the board, and I was that obnoxious homeowner. That had to know everything about everything. So I think it really helped prepare me for my future when I came out here to California and start looking for a job. I had worked in local government with planning and zoning, and then I ran into a company that said HOA experience preferred. I knew what an HOA was, hence my career started.
There you go.
Wow. Yep. So you have that unique perspective because you get to see it from all three sides. You get to see the community side, the government side, you know, the HOA corporate side, which most managers don't have that
Absolutely.
Perspective. They tend to be very tunnel vision. They're either very community oriented or they're very corporate oriented. They have a hard time seeing the full
exactly.
picture.
And then sometimes they get too wrapped up into the emotion of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, it's nice to be able to dissect it a little bit and give them that insight and that support.
Nice. Well, you and I have had several different conversations about the manager-vendor relationship. And, you know, I like to call it a partnership. When I joined the firm many years ago, Steve used to laugh at me because I was this, like, little CAI cheerleader. And at CAI, we call them business partners. And so
right.
I always called vendors business partners. And he used to have church giggles and laugh at me because I called them business partners.
Yeah, I remember when they made the switch. They said, oh, yeah, well, the vendors, are they sponsoring? Oh, no, Steve, it's the business partners.
Business
oh,
partners.
Got it.
I will admit, I had the same sort of feeling yeah. until I got more involved in the relationships and understood that it really is a partnership if
mm-hmm.
it's going to be successful.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that again, you know, being on both sides, starting out as a manager, you know, for, you know, 20 some odd years and then coming to the vendor side, that was my thing is that, no, it is a partnership. You know, it's not just, you know, luncheons and happy hours and meet and greets and all those things. It's really, you know, hey, Steve, I have this problem going on at my association. Can you help me out? Can you give me some advice and give me some direction? I think that's the most valuable tool, you know, between that relationship between the managers and the vendors.
Business partners.
I still call them vendors many times in many capacities. I'm corrected as well at CAI. But it's not a derogatory term by any means.
Mm.
It's just, but the relationship is critical, and you're right. It's something that if you learn how to form that relationship, then you will be more successful as a manager. Yes, the happy hours, the events, all those things are really nice, and I think it gives a nice balance to the manager in what they do from day to day. I mean, that's not the only reason that we should be talking to our vendors / business partners.
Yes.
Right? It is a great opportunity for us to get to know each other on a more casual basis,
mm-hmm.
and then we're more comfortable being able to reach out to someone like Steve and say, hey, listen, I just got a quick question, instead of feeling like, oh, I got to call the attorney for something.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I sat in a board meeting and I have three proposals sitting in front of the board. And the board says, well, Ramona, who do you recommend? You know, and we always say, well, you know, you could choose any one of the three. You know, I'm only going to put good vendors in front of you.
That's what I always say.
But the other thing that I would say, too, is, you know, I haven't necessarily done work with all three of these companies before, given whatever the nature of the job is. It might just be somebody that I know through the industry. But because I've taken the time to get to know them, because I've built that relationship, I can say, well, you know what? I haven't had the opportunity to work with Steve before, but I know him. He's a good dude. I've spent a bunch of time with him. If something goes sideways, I'm confident that this is somebody who is going to stand beside their work, right?
True.
And give a little bit more assurances than, I don't know. I mean, they're on my vendor list and they're good companies.
Right. I get the same question too, have for years, who would you recommend? And I, you know, you don't want to be in the position of necessarily recommending, although it's a, you know, it's a double-edged sword. So I will always say, well, you know, I only bring vendors, business partners to the table that I've either had a positive experience with or someone in my firm or someone that I know of, right? So the relationship is important to understand that and to also remember that the vendors like to meet the client. And I'll have that is with whether it be attorneys where they'll say, well, what do you think? And I'm like, you know, sometimes it really depends on how do you click with that person? What's the personality of the firm that you're working with when it comes to major projects, construction projects, or other things on the association? I want them to meet the vendor. And I encourage my managers all the time to bring them to a board meeting. I think only once in my 23 years have I had a vendor say, no, I can't make it to a meeting. Mm-hmm. Most times they want to be there. They want to be able to represent their company. And it's helpful for us because I'm not the professional. And so when I'm in a meeting and let's say a roofing project, and I bring three proposals for roofing, and they say, well, which one is better? What's the difference here? And I don't know, because that's not my expertise. So if I bring the vendor there, they can answer for themselves. And I think that brings a lot of value. I've heard some managers will say, tell their boards, you don't need to worry about it. I'll bring the proposals. But it really doesn't expedite things. And it doesn't give the client the best information they need to make a decision.
So why do you think that is? Why? Because, I mean, sometimes we deal with this and we, you know, there's a little bit of frustration because we feel as though we're kind of kept at arm's length from
our
client. I've actually had one manager told me that she would not give me the contact information of the board, even though legally we're required to have that. It's in our contract. And we're just trying to understand, just take it a step back. What's the reluctance there?
Well, I think the reluctance in that situation, because it has happened to me before, is sometimes business partners, vendors, will go behind the manager's back to try to appeal to the board member directly. And it's not that we have an issue with them talking to the board members. Sometimes it really is just the fact that if it's not a pleasant working relationship, if it's one of those acrimonious situations where either they want to throw the manager under the bus, or I've seen managers throw the vendor under the bus, then we're dealing with a tense situation. But that's, you know, hopefully that's an exception and not a rule. Mm-hmm. I think most times it's probably just a time issue. It's like if they don't want to bring people to the meeting, it's maybe the manager's like, we got all this other stuff on the agenda, and if they're there for 20 minutes to a half an hour, and then I know that Joe Smith on the board's going to ask 85 questions, I'm going to be here for 4 hours, right?
Got it.
And many companies don't let their managers charge extra for extra meetings. And so let's be honest here, the meetings are in the evenings 99% of the time, and the manager's been working probably all day as it is anyway. That might be part of it. You know, there are some folks out there that may not have a clear understanding of the value of that relationship, or they're just ignorant to the processes, and they just...
Yeah. Well, I can understand. I mean, it's, you know, vendors, business partners. One of the things that, you know, we kind of struggle with is, okay, you know, we're all service providers, right? Managers are included in that.
Absolutely.
Mix, right? We're all service providers. And I think certain distinctions can be drawn between different types of service providers. But some managers, especially the ones that are newer to the industry, I feel like they really miss an opportunity to understand, especially your professional service advisors, your advisors, your legal, your insurance.
Right.
These are people that we don't sell a landscape maintenance product or a sprinkler repair product or a roof product. We're really in day-to-day, and we're here to make the manager's job a lot easier, right? So there really does need to be a partnership there. So sometimes we feel as though, for the sake of expediting things or wanting to keep us at arm's length, it's kind of a lose-lose for everybody. I mean, whenever we get prospects for new clients, we go to meet with prospective clients. It's great. Yeah, we enjoy the opportunity to do that to make sure that we're going to jive well with the board. But candidly, sometimes I've left interviews. I've told the manager, hey, thanks, but I don't think that this is a community that we're going to work very well with.
It cuts two ways, doesn't it?
It does.
We have the same in management. There are times where we do a presentation and then, you know, we walk out going, oh, I hope I don't get that.
Yeah.
Because you just kind of realize that it may not be a good fit.
Yeah.
Or other times you don't know what you're walking into until you get the account and then you find out they don't want to listen to legal counsel. They don't, you know, they don't want to listen to management. I'm not really sure what would motivate someone as far as from an attorney's perspective, not letting them meet the board. Because I really do believe that it's more about a connection, especially with the attorney. You're given advice, intangible information that board needs to have confidence in the person delivering that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the same with management, of course, but you're the one. I can say something. I can read civil code to them and tell them what's black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't interpret the law by any means, and I don't practice law. But if it's a gray area and I say you need to reach out to your attorney, and sometimes, you know, the attorney told them the exact same thing I told them, but that's okay because that makes me look better too. So I'm fine with that. But no, I wish that managers would understand the value of the business partner relationship is not just the happy hour.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the presents, the gifts that you all bring us, especially during the holidays to fatten us up.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's more than that, especially when you know you're problem solvers by trade, like lawyers are.
We
right?
should be. We absolutely
right?
should
You know,
be.
We're here to solve problems. So, you know, the managers that, and you said this at the beginning of our session today, that, you know, and I think this is the same. By and large, the managers that I see that are the most successful, that are longest tenured with their company, those are the ones that I think if there's one characteristic, they really invest the time to develop the relationship with their business partners, certainly their main service providers, because nothing's ever going to go perfect. And when things go wrong, right, that's really the opportunity when you want to be able to lean on somebody to make it right. I've screwed up. Hey, don't worry about it. This is no big deal. Let me present this to the board. We'll find a solution to this. And I'll do you solid. I won't charge any time for this. Let's just get beyond this. You know, that's the value
Absolutely.
That we like to add.
And that, you know, that defines a good relationship and a good business partner. Many times, you're right, we're all human beings. We're all going to make mistakes. Many times the manager will mess up. And they'll, if they have the good relationship with the attorney, they'll call and say, hey, listen, I think I'm in trouble. I think I did something I shouldn't have done or didn't do what I should have done, right? And so getting to know people and have that positive relationship is critical for that. And it's the same with the client. You're right. I mean, if the client has a level of trust in you, then when you mess up and you own it, that's another really key thing. Is not to blame, but to own it and say, you know, here's what we're going to do to fix it. That's been my motto all along, is don't try to hide it, don't try to cover it up. It, you know, own your mistake, tell them how you're going to fix it and how you'll prevent it from happening again.
Yeah.
I think, you know, attorneys are human too. I've called many times, I've received a bill and on a firm not too long ago, and I said, listen, you know, I know what work was done here. And I said, but we're being billed from three different people and it seems really high.
Yeah.
Now, I know that the folks in the HOA world, the attorneys get paid far less hourly than any other law area because I've used some other attorneys and I've seen some of those bills personally. So God love you for hanging in there and being so supportive of our industry. But this particular situation, I said, I need to understand this invoice because my board is going to ask. And when they looked at it, they said, oh, sorry, there was a mistake. One of the attorneys had gone out on maternity leave and someone was supposed to handle it. And somebody else got involved too. And they revised it, right?
Got it.
So this I felt comfortable doing that with that firm because I knew that they weren't going to judge me or anything. And I didn't tell the client that I was reaching out like that. I just thought, you know, I'm going to do a preemptive kind of thing. And if they had come back and said, no, this is what we did and why we did it, et cetera, would have processed the bill. And if the board asked, I would have explained that. I think that that's part of it, too, is supporting each other behind the scenes a little bit.
Yeah.
I see that that has been helpful for me as a manager. If I'm fair with my vendors, my business partners, then they're going to be fair with me. And they're going to help me when I'm really desperate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we all miss that deadline, right? It's like, oh my God, yeah. I need a bid like yesterday.
Exactly.
Can you help me? But if you've been kicking them around, if you've been not so pleasant to them or whatever, then they're going to say, I'm really sorry, I can't get to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a mutual respect. You know, it's sometimes you have to hold them to task. You know, sometimes
without
things happen. You know, like you said, everybody makes mistakes. We're all human beings. And sometimes you have to call the business partner and say, hey, man, you know, this, I was out there on site and I'm looking at this work and it's not great and I need you to step up. I need you to take care of it. But that's also part of that relationship and being
Absolutely.
Able to have that dialogue. And they're not going to be offended by it. They're going to say, you know, we value the relationship. Absolutely. We'll come out. We'll take care of it. You know, and like you said, vice versa. Oh my goodness. I messed up. I made a promise that I shouldn't have made. Can you bail me out?
Right.
You know, and 9 times out of 10, they will bail you out. Now they might tell you, don't do it again.
Right.
Yeah. This is a one time only.
Luckily, it's not something that you do quite often because
right?
if that's the case, then we need to talk about time management a little bit more.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the most powerful thing, I think. It's, you know, the in terms of the loyalty and the relationship, how is that built with a client or, you know, with a community manager? I mean, some of, you know, when we have junior attorneys come in and they're worried, oh, I think I might have messed up on this thing or the board's not too happy. You know, my reaction is, okay, well, when there's an issue with a client, that's the opportunity where trust is really built.
Without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if things are going great the entire time or whatever, and they never see you, it's different than something goes wrong, and then you're there, you make the situation right, because now they understand, and they have the confidence to say, well, if anything ever goes wrong with this person, I know they're going to make it right, right?
Exactly.
Which is, I think, way more powerful in terms of building long-term trust. I think some of the you know, newer managers to the industry and wanting to do their job. And I understand, you know, heart goes out to the managers out there because I know you got homeowners that are, you know, beating on your inbox all the time with nasty comments and nasty sentiments. And sometimes they see someone turn around and kind of give the same thing to their business partners. And it's just a total missed opportunity, right? If you would approach it as, hey, Steve, there's this invoice. I don't want to really give it to the board yet. Are you sure there's something there, rather as if you come across with just an email that's super cold, say this is ridiculous, or sometimes
right, exactly. And you know, what's lost many times in today's world too is that communication.
Yeah,
is that pick up the phone, and talk to somebody.
Yes,
because so much gets misinterpreted via email or gets lost. You know, I knew of a manager who really felt that beating up on the vendors was the way to show her board that she was their advocate.
Yep. Yep.
And that was, you know, and so here's what ended up happening. First of all, well, she ended up being terminated from her job long term with a particular company because mm-hmm. they didn't appreciate that kind mm-hmm. of treatment. But that particular vendor, you know, to your point, Ramona, it's like they're not going to be there when I need them.
Mm-hmm. Like what you hear so far? Make sure to subscribe to the Tinnelly Talks podcast at tinnellylaw.com and never miss an episode. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Now let's get back to the show.
They're not going to own something, but yes, you're right. If you have that relationship, I can call them up and say, listen, I was out at a property and I saw something. It doesn't look right. There was I love this other story though, where I was on a project one time and we'd had some painting done. I came in as the manager after the project was done and I was walking it and I noticed that there was mismatched paint. So I called the vendor and I said, hey, listen, you know, I noticed this, you've given us, I looked at your contract and there's a 5-year warranty on labor, which is quite a bit on painting. And I said, so, you know, it's only been like 6 months. I need you to come out and fix this. And nobody's responding. Finally, because I had a good relationship with another vendor, they said, here's the owner's cell phone number. Give him a call. I give him a call and he says, yeah, I'm shutting down my business. I'm actually on my way to Las Vegas right now.
Oh.
And I said, oh, and I was a very naive manager. And I said, I said, oh, okay, well, you know, we've got this problem at this project here that you guys had the contract on. And he says, yeah, no, we're not going to do anything about it. I said, but you sold them a 5-year labor warranty. He says, yeah, wasn't that a great sales technique?
Oh,
wasn't
geez.
That a great marketing effort? And I was like, wow, okay, yeah. So now what do I tell the client, right? I mean, it's important that you vet your vendors a little bit too. You know, the question of where do you find them? Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing you want to do is go to the trade organizations, CAI, CACM, because those business partners know what they're getting into. They work in the HOA market. So there's twofold. One, they're going to know the animal, because you're right. It's the homeowners pounding on you, and their expectations and things can be very challenging for a lot of contractors that think, I'm just going to come in, blow out this job, and be done.
Mm-hmm. Right? And I'm going to get paid in 10 days.
And I'm going to get paid in 10 days, right? And I'm not going to have to come back and do a walkthrough before I get paid. Yep. It's, you know. So it's important that your partner knows the scope and knows the animal that they're dealing with. And then there's also the things that our homeowners don't understand, or our board members don't understand, is that the vendor needs to have the right insurance. They'll give you a certificate and say, I have proof of insurance, but can they work on a condominium?
Yep.
Do they have an exclusion on their policy for that? And, you know, that goes to the ever challenge of getting the board to have an attorney review a contract.
Oh, yeah.
And half the time, you know, the contractors, because, like, nobody looks at their insurance policies, right? I don't look at my home policy or my driver's policy.
Well, you really should. We'll have to talk about that
offline. You should, right? But, you know, even as a manager, right, you get that, you know, 1-inch thick policy, and I'm not opening it up and looking at every single page, right? No. So I can't tell you how many times I've gone to a business partner and said, hey, did you know you had a condo exclusion in your policy? What do you mean? And they immediately get on the phone with their agent. Again, that's that business partner relationship, because I used to go to the HOA's insurance agent and say, you know, I contacted the vendor. I got a copy of their insurance certificate. I had them send me the table of contents for the policy. Can you look at this and see if there's any red flags?
Right.
And they would do that for me at no charge.
Absolutely.
And I'm not paying an attorney. I mean, I still have to pay the attorney to review the contract.
Right.
But that's, you know, less attorney time, right? Mm-hmm. And it's super easy, and I get an answer in minutes. Here's the table of contents. Are there any exclusions that I have to worry about? Yes or no? Okay, great. Now I can send this contract to the vendor.
And it's amazing, once you really get involved in the industry and learn all the nuances, it's amazing how much our business partners will do for us for free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the real world, outside the HOA world, you're charged for, you want professional advice on an insurance policy? Okay, well, we'll do it. And here's our charge. Or the same with legal, right? Yeah. So, but they're not going to have time to do it if they don't have a good relationship with you.
Right.
If you don't take the time to learn who they are and how they operate. I've got, speaking of insurance, I've got a guy that I can call anytime for that, whether he actually holds the insurance or not.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he used to work for me years ago.
Okay.
So that helps.
There you go.
Yeah. You know, it helps when you've been around as long as I have, and many people have worked for you in the past. But again, it's the relationship, right?
But to that point, when I was managing, and the last management company that I worked at, I managed all of the... how do I say this? I manage the vendor list, I guess is the best way to put it.
Okay.
And so those business partners who wanted to get into the company, who wanted to do the meet and greets and the lunch and learns and all those things, I coordinated all of those things. And so people that I had never worked with before would call and say, how do I get in? How do I build a relationship with your managers? And my response was always, stop selling.
Right.
Stop chasing after them at the luncheons. Stop calling them and emailing them and asking them, do they have any work? You know, if you want to drop by and drop off, you know, a tub of candy, or, you know, you want to schedule lunch and learn, meet and greet, happy to do that. But by and large, what they really need is for you to be a resource.
Absolutely.
Make yourself available.
And do a good job.
And do a good job.
Just perform.
Yeah.
Just perform.
I mean, it is simple. You're right. The sales pitch, I just had somebody call me the other day, and it was not even industry related, but they were selling their whatever they were selling, and I, you know, they wanted to sell a remote workforce, and I said, our company doesn't, you know, our industry, what my company represents is customer service. We don't have a remote workforce, right? Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't, you know, I was very polite. I was very nice. And finally, I had to be a little curt with him to get him off the phone because he was being that aggressive with mm-hmm. me and trying to tell me why, you know, he should have an opportunity. So I think you're right. The hard sales thing, and managers really don't have a lot of time for that.
Yep.
The drop by or the, you know, in introducing yourself when you're at an event and you know, that's when managers really connect. I remember as a new manager, when I'd go to a CAI luncheon or something, and all of a sudden I'm seeing the vendor and I'm going, oh crap, you're right. I need something from this vendor. I need something from that vendor. And it helps that way. So I think that's valuable. But you know, the thing that also really bothers me is when a vendor does take the time to hold an event, maybe a happy hour or a dinner, or to stop by, and managers don't have the time, or they can't take 5 minutes to say hi, or what's even worse is they accept the invite and then they're no show. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I preach all the time to, as Ramona knows, I've been on my soapbox about it, but people need to understand that has value, financial value. That's a marketing budget. And I don't think that our managers quite get that's part of the relationship too, right? If you're a marketing or a salesperson, that's your job is to win some business. And so how's the best way to do it? I think it is that personal relationship. And when people just ignore it or have no respect for it, it bothers me.
Well, that's I think you had mentioned earlier, you know, how do you find new business partners and first go to your trade organizations.
Correct.
And you know, the assumption is that if they're a member of one of the trade organizations, that they're familiar with HOAs. They've done business on condominiums and plan developments before.
Right.
But CAI and CACM are not quote unquote vetting these people, right? They're paying a membership fee. And then they're paying their sponsorship fees to be at events. And the rest of it is that marketing, to your point. And so what is the purpose for these co-sponsored events? What are the purposes for these meet and greets? Or taking somebody out to happy hour or taking somebody out to lunch? You know, it's not because we want to be your friend. I mean, that is a bonus. If I build a friendship with you, I mean, that's a bonus.
Correct.
And I would love to do that. But by and large, I'm taking you to lunch because I want that one-on-one FaceTime, because I want to get to know you.
Absolutely.
I want you to get to know me, so that when it comes time for legal services to come up, you think about me and you think, hey, you know what? I know Ramona. I know Steve. I spent some time with them. I like them as human beings. I think that they would be great to work with. I'm going to give them an opportunity. Now, it's my job to win that opportunity and to get that contract. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's how you go about vetting them, is spending time with
exactly.
them.
And people want to work with people they like. Let's be honest here. I mean, it's simple as that. And so if the manager is invited to an event or sponsored at a luncheon, let's say, and they don't spend the time with the person sponsoring them, then they're losing that opportunity. And they're wasting your time and money.
Yeah.
Quite honestly.
Well,
you know? Yeah,
it's the same way too. We want to work with managers that we like, that respect it, that understand the nature of our product and what we do and the value that we add, and as gracious and generous as we are for, you know, in a wide variety of things. And the managers that we like to work with, the ones that say, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, I missed this deadline, I got a board meeting tomorrow, move heaven and earth for that manager. Hey, we need to take care of this person. There are people. Managers that are not that, also, you know, sometimes like, I'm sorry, you know, we'll get to it as soon as we can, and we will, but there's not going to be that same sense of urgency. And I think that aspect, it's a two-way thing, right? You want to be able to build that relationship, because when we think of business partners or vendors, like all of a sudden we start thinking names of companies, logos, those types, but it's really people, you know?
Yeah.
And as a manager, especially a younger manager, when people say, well, who do you recommend? Well, I like this company specifically, this individual. Let me tell you about this individual. There's also this company. This individual is great. You're just going to look way more impressive in my mind. Say, I know actually the people that are here are the people that will be working on the account. It's not just, this is a logo that was dropped off in a goodie bag.
Right.
You know, and I've heard other people use them.
Right. You know? Right. No, that's essential, and that's the value of it. Is to be able to know you personally, and to be able to, if I'm going to give a recommendation or if I'm going to bring someone to the table, I want to feel confident in what you're doing too, right?
Yeah.
Because it reflects on me.
Absolutely.
And that's how managers need to understand these relationships as well. it reflects on them, good or bad. Mm-hmm. But the good, I mean, you look like a rock star. And to your point earlier about the problem-solving skill set, right? I need people that I can rely on to help me solve the problem, that I can ask a question to, you know, without feeling that I'm wasting their time or they don't want to help
or exactly. You know, it's a different thing. Yeah, it's funny sometimes, you know, the impulse, I think, and especially this is with newer managers, just to kind of keep, you know, the business partners at arm's length, treat us as a commodity type of thing. No, it's and this kind of the semantics that are used or something that I think is interesting, because I'll hear, you know, managers when they're talking, well, who do you use,
right?
And use, I mean, that's
as opposed to who do you work with.
Right? Who do you work with? Right? Who do you trust? Who
That's
makes
a great
you,
point.
You know? I mean, it's just who do you use? And just sometimes the semantics of flipping that around. Some of the managers I've been really impressed with too are those that have taken the time to really understand the nature of the product that the business partner is providing. So, okay, you guys are doing electrical services. You're an electrical contractor. How do you guys make money? What does it cost for you to roll a truck out? Okay, so if I have issues in my community or things like that, am I going to beat on you to roll a truck out to fix these little things or say, hey, you guys have scheduled service in a few weeks?
Right.
I'm not going to make you come out now. This can wait. Can you take care of it then? Oh my gosh, this manager has our back. They're not going to beat on us to make us spend more money than we need to. Things like that. You know, attorneys, all we do is sell time. So like, I got this board member. It's calling me all the time. It's taking a ton of time. Yeah, we gave them an initial bid, but I didn't know they were going to come back for this governing document revision and want to have 20 meetings. You know, our hope would be the manager, hey, board, just so you understand, this is the nature, right? The managers that do this and say, all they do is sell time, when you're taking their time,
right,
they're going to...
And I think that that's where I see a little bit of a, well, probably a lot, a big gap in our industry is in what I try to focus on with my managers is to develop their confidence, their skill set. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, I don't have time to do that, Steve. I don't have time to ask them what it takes to get a truck out there. Mm-hmm. I've got 85 emails in my inbox just since lunch. Mm-hmm. And so can you just get it done so I get these people off my back? Mm-hmm. But I think when a manager is able to elevate themselves to a level of a little bit more confidence, and this is what I like to work with my managers on, to be able to say to the client, it's not really a fair ask, right? That's not a reasonable expectation. Years ago, I had a client say during budget time, say, listen, we don't want to raise our assessments. Nobody ever does, right?
No.
So tell the landscaper that we need them to cut back 20% on their contract. And I said, oh, are you not happy with them? Are they not performing? I mean, I think the property looks great. Oh, no, we really like them. But we need to save some money. So tell them to cut it by 20%. I said, okay, so what 20% of the service do you no longer want?
Love that.
And they're like, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, you know, and if you relate it to who they are and in their industry, this is another thing that drives me crazy sometimes, especially in Zoom meetings I've seen, where the newer manager, everyone comes on to Zoom meeting one-on-one, you know, this guy comes in first, that one's a little late, and the manager is sitting there, total silence, not taking the opportunity to get to know the board member a little mm-hmm. better. I always want to know, what do they do for a living? Because that will help me understand how they approach things.
Absolutely.
An engineer versus, you know, someone who works at a dental office, boy, they're going to come at me totally different, mm-hmm. In different sets of expectations. But yeah, I think we need to build the industry overall. People need to understand that it is a professional industry. We are all professionals, and regardless of what we get paid, and that's probably the problem. Everything that we all need to know, you look at it and you think, if I went to any other place, I'd only have to know a fraction of this. I just had a really good potential manager that I was grooming that left. I had left the company. She felt she didn't have as much support as she used to have. I have dinner with her going, hey, how you doing? What do you need? And she says, I gave my notice. I'm getting out of the industry. And she had such potential. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, why? She goes, well, I can go, you know, I'm going to run a CPA or a CPA's office and make what I was making here. So that, you know, that it speaks a little bit to, I mean, this would be another topic for another talk about the professionalism in the industry. But I think that if we can show the value to our clients, I just recently had to really hike up a client's fee, and I monitored it. I did what attorneys do, right? I got a little timer thing, and I said every time they called, every time I had to answer the 15, 20 emails a day when I was working on a board packet, whatever, and I started the timer. And then after 2 months, I said, okay, here's how much time I personally spent. Here's how much time everyone else in our office spent on your account. And here's what it's going to take, right? And I think people need to get to a point where they're comfortable having those conversations about expectations and supporting the vendor in that respect and saying, you know, you're not really asking for a reasonable situation here.
Well, you said two different things that I picked up on, you know, and one is... in not so many words, the margins in this industry are tight, right? Mm-hmm. We're dealing with nonprofit corporations. Mm-hmm. You know, we understand that the homeowners are paying the assessments or ultimately mm-hmm. the ones who are paying our bills. So, you know, we're not charging what would generally be charged out in the real world.
Absolutely.
You know, and Steve is famous for talking about, you know, his rate when he first started as a junior attorney versus what he's making now as a managing partner, and they're not anywhere near the same.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Thank you for your loyalty to our industry.
You know, it's fine, but
yeah. it's one of those things where it's I think as an industry we understand that. I think that boards by and large may not always get that because they're volunteers.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The rest of us as service providers, we're in this business ultimately to make a profit, you know, understanding that we're dealing with nonprofits, and so we do shave a little bit off. But we are here to run some businesses and to right. pay our employees, and you know, government keeps getting in the way, and we have to keep paying people more, and right. costs of services keep going up, and so that has to be passed along. But to your point, the manager has to have the confidence to have that conversation with the board. I was in a program, I saw a program with Kat Carmichael a few years ago, and one of the things that she said, and I've adopted, is that the manager is really the COO, right? They're the chief operating officer of that corporation, right? We're the ones who are handling the day in, the day out. We're the ones who are organizing that board meeting, keeping the board members on task, keeping all the business partners on task, resolving all of those homeowner issues. We are that operations officer. We are that professional. And so we have to be the ones that have the confidence to tell the volunteers, okay, board, I know that you're the ultimate decision maker, but you're the volunteer and I'm the professional.
Exactly.
And this is kind of the way it is.
Today's episode is brought to you by Altera Assessment Recovery. Altera provides comprehensive attorney-supervised assessment collection services to community associations throughout California. Trust us with your collection needs. We'll get the job done, done right, and as quickly and efficiently as possible. Altera Assessment Recovery, we're the collection team you've been looking for.
And again, that's an element in our industry that I think needs more focus from the manager's perspective too, is I would say to my managers, my portfolio managers, I'd say, look at your portfolio as if it's your company. Give it that same level of care that you would. If you owned your own company and you had a question about a service or an insurance policy or whatever, you wouldn't just say, oh, whatever, board made the decision. You would say, well, let me dig into it. Now, I do have a very good friend of mine who's an on-site manager that says, well, portfolio managers just don't have the time. And yet that is a challenge. Mm-hmm. But it's also make the time to save the time down the road. Mm-hmm. Once you have established yourself with that client as being the professional, as being the one that is knowledgeable and may not know everything but knows where to find the information and directs them to the right people, then your job ultimately gets easier. And guess what? When you make a mistake, they're like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, it's with any relationship, right? You build up a level of trust and confidence, and then they're a little bit more forgiving when these things happen. So I think it's just essential in all of our relationships, and the manager really needs to take ownership on that.
Yeah, and I think, Steve, you probably have experienced the same thing. When I started, I was, you know, brand new manager, you know, first real job. I'm 19 years old. And I used to have board members kind of look at me and say, you know, who is this punk kid who's right. coming to this board meeting and just going to try and tell me?
Right.
But once I opened up my mouth a few times and knew what I was speaking about, oh, this is somebody who knows what she's doing. This is somebody that I can respect. And right. it didn't matter how young I looked or how much inexperience I
exactly.
had, because I was willing to go out and get the information or bring the business partner who had the information to the meeting
right.
and help them out.
I joke that I let my hair grow gray just so I can get more confidence and respect for my clients, but that's not really true.
Yeah.
What I, one of the first clients, prospective clients that I met, I beat out, they were interviewing me and a manager who had 5 years of industry experience. I had none. I just sat on my board, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how did I win that? Because I knew more about their community. I took the time to understand a little bit about their community. And so that was impressive. So you're right. I also had a presentation one time that I was presenting a very young manager, inexperienced, but also very young looking,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I made such a critical mistake. Every time the board would be asking questions to the manager, I would, you know, for fear that the manager just didn't know or whatever, mm-hmm. I would step in. Well, we didn't get the account. And when I circled back and trying to learn where we went wrong, they said, you know, we wanted to hear from the manager. We wanted to hear how they would solve certain things, not how the company can do it, but how the manager can do it. So yes, I say to my managers, you're not a recording secretary. That is not your job. Your job is to advise and to guide. Yes, at the end of the day, it is the board's decision, but we need to bring them the information so that they are comfortable and confident making that decision. And how can we know as much as we know as a manager? You know, I say a jack of all trades, a master of none. Well, maybe that's not 100% true, but, oh yeah, I need to be able to reach out to the right people and get the information to bring to them. And that's, again, that's where the relationship is so effective. If you've had a good relationship and then you call them and you just need advice, even if they're not on the project, and you say, I just don't understand this. I got these bids and somebody is saying this or that. Can you explain what that means to me? I tell managers all the time, your vendors love to talk about what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. But we also, I mean, I can say this for all the attorneys in my offices. I mean, I have managers too that I can think of off the top of my head. I don't think we have any clients with them. These managers like us will love the opportunity, but you know, legal changes hands. These are on site.
Right.
But hey, Steve, can I just get your take
right.
on this?
Right.
Just, you know, give, absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely do that, because I respect that person. They
right.
understand that. They're, hey, I know you're busy. It's no big deal if you can't get to it. Sure, what's going on? Because what we like is the investments that we can make. It's not just for can we get into, but people like that, I feel like, are those the ones that are going to drive kind of the evolution and the advancement of the industry at large. People that are sitting there want
hopefully.
To get to know the industry.
Absolutely.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, right? And these, you know, sometimes I say, oh my gosh, I'm in a tough position. I'll, you know, I'll be having drinks with the manager. I have to tell the board something, you know, that they don't want to hear and they're being unreasonable. And it's, well, you know, it's kind of like one of those things that we talked about earlier. Yeah, I mean, my biggest relationships, my strongest relationships with my clients have been based upon situations that haven't gone according to plan, but
right.
we fixed them and we moved forward and they've been super appreciative. So too have been situations where I've had with boards that I felt being, well, that's an unreasonable ask. And I mean, it's easier for me as the attorney, right?
Sure.
Push back and say, no, that's wrong.
Sure.
No, we're not going to do that. But I think managers really could understand the power in that as well. You know, a lot of times we have board members that are in that position, they're on the board, and I like to joke, they're oftentimes some of the most least qualified in their community to be in that position. So don't, you know, assume that they know everything or that they're going to make all the right decisions. And the other people that are on the board that might be a little bit more quiet because you have an overbearing board president and thinks he knows everything, those are the ones that especially appreciate a manager willing to say, you know what? Okay, so what 20% of the landscape service
right.
scope do you want to cut if you want them to cut their fee 20%? Oh, thank you. I'm so glad Cindy
yeah.
told Jim he's being a moron about this stuff. Yeah.
Right. And it didn't help too much, but it did help a little bit.
Yeah.
At least it gave him some understanding. I think they still asked for some grace on the fee. But and you reminded me of something, too. You know, as managers, we are exposed to new laws constantly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's overwhelming sometimes. And the fact that any of the management companies can reach out to attorneys within our industry and ask of their time to do a Zoom seminar
mm-hmm.
or a lunch and learn or something, and you give your time freely to that. I think that has great value, and I thank you. Thank you all for doing that. It's invaluable to us because when we have new laws, I can hear it once, but I need to hear it three times. And then, of course, the interpretation. I love that, too. It's the old, every attorney has an opinion, and they're called opinions because sometimes they're just not facts. It's an interpretation. And so if I can come to, when I have a board ask me a question, I can say, well, you need to ask your attorney. Some attorneys will say this, some will say that. Or sometimes they'll say to me, well, you know, the last attorney we had said we could do that. And I'm like, okay, ask your current attorney. Or if their current attorney says something, then I say, I'm not the attorney, go for it. But, you know.
Yeah, we've run into a few management companies, just a handful, but they don't, you know, they don't want to do the lunch and learns anymore. And I understand it from the manager perspective in terms of, look, I am busy all day long. I can barely even take a lunch, let alone, you know, give you an hour for this lunch and learn. But on the flip side of that, you know, I used to enjoy them as a manager because I gleaned so much information from them. I really enjoy them as a business partner because managers change companies so often.
Correct.
There's such a high turnover rate in this industry in general. It's on the business partner side as well. And I don't always know who everybody is until I get into the office. And I meet so many people that I get to say, oh my God, it's so nice to meet you in person. I've only known you over email. Now I get to put a face to the email address. And, you know, I wouldn't have might have had that opportunity if not for that lunch and learn or that meet and greet.
And I understand the time constraints because I know in my past life and different companies I've worked for, there were times where we would try to arrange a lunch and learn and the vendor would come in, business partner would come in with all this lunch and all this wonderful, you know, food and drinks, and there'd be two managers there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, so how do we balance this? So, you know, my solution to that for a while was to do a breakfast meet and greet once a week, vendors, and I was lucky enough to have somebody like yourself that could manage all those people and make sure that it was first come, first serve, and everyone had an opportunity. And they could do the quick hit of getting their name out there, you know, face-to-face and everything. But, you know, there is a value to the lunch and learn situation with managers. And I think when the company, like our company, really embraces that partnership, that you're helping our managers become better and you're helping us learn things. I think it, you know, it depends on the company, but we really should say, okay, we're not going to have three different vendors come in 4 weeks in a row for SB 326. As you know, we talked earlier, it's like we've all heard about that legislation and we're all struggling with it, but what else is relevant now? And of course the timing and everything is important too, the time of year when it comes to budget things. I think this year I noticed that it seems like a lot of the insurance and reserve people and everything, it was a little bit too late when we started getting some of the information. The boards were already kind of in the full cycle of the planning. And so maybe it would have been better if they'd had somebody come and talk to them earlier on and say, listen, material costs are not going down. So even though your reserve analyst has said, here's what you can anticipate for inflation, that's not really what it's going to take to build it, right? Mm-hmm. So how would we know that? How would a manager know that unless they're going to an event and hearing it? I heard about that because I went to a CAI event. And there was, you know, a construction company and an insurance company all presenting and telling me. So I think it does have value. It's just how do we balance it and how do we make it valuable for the managers? Because sometimes it's just not about lunch.
No,
education.
I mean, I enjoy the programs. I mean, I feel like it makes me a better counselor in this thing when I get to understand more about what reserves are. How is that done? What are the inputs and outputs of that? I'm a nerd. I mean, I like soaking up as much information as I possibly can. But the relationships that I've developed with other business partners and understanding their line of work and what they do. These aren't people that are, you know, lawyers that are, you know, quote, competitors of mine. But people even lawyers that are competitors. I mean, we're, you know, we consider them colleagues. We have a great relationship.
It's a friendly competition in this industry. It's one of the things that I really like about it.
I mean, I'm blessed. I've got a few attorneys where I can call them and say, Steve, what's going on? Hey, can I bend your ear on this? And I'm like, sure, this thing is, and you know, we always joke, it takes a village. You know, we're all here to support each other. And I think if you go to any, you know, PCAM reception or thing along those lines, all the, you know, the managers that have really reached the pinnacle and have really figured out how to do this, I bet you if you sat them down, they could point to what really helped me out in my career was this business partner, the relationship I developed with this company, And, you know, for the younger manager, I feel like that's really lost. And I understand timing is always, you know, the amount of time that you have is always, it's always a challenge, right? It's like, well, I can't do that. Okay, but understand this, and sometimes I chuckle. You sent an email, okay, responded back. Oh, okay, great. Yeah, absolutely. You have time for a call? Nope. Please put, you know, whatever questions you have. Okay, so like, okay, I got to charge you now. I got to put the questions in.
Right.
The questions go to you,
right.
I got to follow up. And then you got this, you know, 10 email chain where I said, if you would have just called me in the beginning, hey, Steve, this is what's cooking. You think you can get this? Sure. When do you need
right.
it by? Let me ask you a couple questions. You have any photos? That's great. The client's back, you know, less time is spent, less money is spent. You don't have to worry about it, and you're going to be at the top of my mind rather than just a, you know, an email in the inbox with a little color next to it.
And you hit a good point there that I think managers need to make sure they read your contract as well. And
mm-hmm.
if you have a retainer or not, because yes, we live in a world where everyone thinks a quick email, and rarely is it a quick email
no.
when it comes to something like that you need to discuss. And from the client perspective, if I know you have a retainer and I know what's included in that retainer, and I can pick up a phone and have a 5-minute conversation with you instead of going back and forth an email where you have to, you're now charging for an opinion, then isn't that more valuable? But how do we know that without, and I think that some of what's being lost too is the, you know, the environment changed after the pandemic, and a lot of people are working remotely. And I love working from home sometimes. It gives me, you know, a lot of latitude. But I think we're losing the collaboration. I think we're losing the managers venting with each other as far as not just complaining about someone, but saying, hey, listen, I've got this problem,
mm-hmm.
and have you dealt with it before, or do you have a vendor that can deal with it? And, you know, I know the last place I worked, we embraced the remote even after after, you know, the pandemic was cooling down. But I would find that was the case, and I'd something would happen with a manager, and I'd go to him and I'd say, well, why didn't you ask me, or why aren't we sharing what we know and our knowledge, as opposed to just kind of walling up somewhere and saying, well, I don't have time. So, and I can't help but think that if we make the time and we learn something, it's going to just not only make us look better and feel better, and feel better about what we do. And when you have the respect of someone, whether it be an attorney, I remember the first time I had to call an attorney as a new manager, like, oh, it's an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. And then I realized, no, we're all people.
Yeah, and attorneys, by and large, we're just dorks, you know?
Yeah, mostly. Dorks that love to tell you what they know.
Yeah, exactly.
And isn't that the key?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, that's our show for today. Thank you all for listening. We'd also like to thank Cindy Collins for your time and expertise. Make sure to visit our website at sinleylaw.com if you haven't already, where we break down this episode, and stay tuned for our next one.
To share or subscribe to the Tinley Talks podcast, visit us at tinleylaw.com. There you can find links to everything discussed in this episode, locate helpful resources, check out other episodes, and submit questions for future topics. And be sure to tune in next month for our next episode. As always, the views and opinions expressed by the podcast, its presenters and guests do not constitute legal advice. For more information on the topics discussed in today's podcast, please consult with your association's legal counsel. This is Tinley Talks, presented by Tinley Law Group, your community, your counsel.